Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. This morning we're privileged again to have with us Chaplain Jerry Roberts, who is ministering to those individuals who are in the hospital at Memorial Hospital in Modesto, as well as ministering to the staff that's there. He's been with us before. Several weeks back, he was a guest minister here. And since I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, I asked him to come back and to take the pulpit for this morning and for this evening. So, Brother Jerry, we're glad to have you with us, and we welcome you. God bless you, and we will hear you attentively.
Good morning. It's good to be here again this morning, and it's always a joy to come and be a part of God's work. God's congregation. The disciples got into the boat. Jesus was in the back of the boat, and as they drifted off into to the waters, a storm came. And it began to rain and rain and rain, and the waters began to get higher and higher and higher. And the boat began to rock back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Pretty soon, the disciples began to get afraid. In fact, they got real afraid. And they began to talk amongst each other. They knew that Jesus was in the boat, but they began to talk amongst themselves. And the conversation went something like this. Why is he still sleeping? Why is he still in the back of the boat? We're having a storm. We're about ready to drown. Why hasn't Jesus done something for us? The storms continued. They continued and they continued. And finally, probably Peter, because Peter was always the most outspoken of the disciples. Probably Peter went back to the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, wake up. Finally, Jesus woke up. And you know the story. Jesus went and stood at the front of the boat, and he said, peace, be still. And there was complete peace. And then after that, Jesus had spoke to the waters, he turned to his disciples and said, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Today, for a few minutes, I'm going to share with you about faith and about what faith means to each of us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Some have called this the all-star chapter in the Bible. And so I would like to read a few verses and just share briefly what I believe the Bible tells to us this morning about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this time in which we can be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I must confess this morning that I'm much like the disciples in the boat, that there are times in my life where Jesus could look at my life and say to me, "Oh, ye of little faith." And so, Father, I pray for each of us here today that, Father, that we would hold on to the faith that we have, not in ourselves, not in our families, not even in our church, but, Heavenly Father, our faith is in you and you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "The just shall live by what?" By faith. And for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, that's how we live our life. All through the Bible, it talks about faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Romans 1 says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians says, for by faith you shall stand. So you and I this morning, we all live by faith. A brief definition: a belief in that which has no tangible proof, trust in God. For, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's how we live our lives. We say that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have never seen Jesus Christ face to face, have we, huh? But we believe by faith that He's our Savior. He's our Savior and that He's our Lord. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's the only way that we can live our life, is by faith. Sometimes Christians kind of get themselves confused. They think that they can live their faith by sight. And so they try to live their life by sight, and pretty soon they get very disappointed, don't they, huh? They get to the end of the month, and they look in the checkbook, and they realize that they don't have much money. In fact, I paid my bills yesterday, and I had a little bit left over until the next 2 weeks. But guess what? Was I afraid? No. I just knew I couldn't buy any new clothes. No, that's not the point. The point is, I knew that God was going to take care of me. Why do I know that? I know that because for 62 years, God has always taken care of me. And so I will never, ever put my faith in my own abilities, in my own strength, even in my family, even in my church, even in a pastor. You have a wonderful pastor, but if you put your faith in Brother Gary Martin, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be real disappointed. But, ladies and gentlemen, our faith is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Faith. That's how we live our life. But how does faith act out? Well, you know, it's very simple. When you get in the car in the morning, you put your key in the ignition, and by faith you believe that it's going to start, huh? Especially if you have a Ford. Anybody have a Ford? Why does it say fix or repair daily? Now, if you have a Ford, don't talk to me after church. I have a Honda, so. But we live by faith. You know, when we get in the car, we put the ignition in, we turn the key, and it starts. By faith, we believe that when we buy groceries at the grocery store, by faith, we believe that the people who grew those vegetables for us did it the right way, don't we, huh? By faith, when you go to the hospital and a nurse gives you a prescription, that nurse, number one, graduated from nursing school, and number two, is competent to give that prescription, isn't it? By faith. We believe that, huh? Last year, by faith, we believed that the San Francisco Giants would win the World Series. Well, I have a lot of faith, but they ain't going to win this year, so. I've made two people mad, Giants fans and Ford fans, but you guys will get over it, all right? By faith, we believe that when you go to the bank each week and you give that lady at the bank your check, that she's going to deposit it in your account, don't you? You see, faith is very much a part of every one of our lives. But when it comes to faith in God, we get very frightened by it, don't we, huh? We say, you know, when it comes to our own life, when it comes to the life of our church, we get kind of afraid, you know. We get our checkbooks out and we begin to write a check and say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know if I can be able to pay my bills. And so guess what we do? We just skip the tithe, don't we, huh? Can I tell you something? You've invited me back to preach again. You may not invite me back again, so I could just say this. I'm just a visiting preacher, so I can say whatever I want. You got to live with your pastor. Can I tell you something? People that do not tithe do not live by faith. You didn't. That wasn't very good. Amen, was it? Huh? You know, when I begin to talk about money, it gets kind of quiet around here. Let me say it again. Those that live by faith are those that tithe. Amen? Amen? So, Brother Gary, your tithe should go up. I once heard a great preacher say, he said, the church does not have a financial problem. The church has a faith problem. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to not put our faith in our own selves, but we need to put our faith in the God and the God alone. St. Augustine said about faith, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Oswald Chambers said, faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Webster's dictionary says of faith, an unquestionable belief that does not require proof or evidence. So this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to look at some people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that talks about this morning about faith. In fact, faith in the book of Hebrews, the central design of this chapter is to evidence the patience of those in former ages endured by faith before they received the fulfillment of God's promise. That's why we're studying today. These folks were in the Old Testament, and they lived by faith. And guess how they were saved? Hey, folks, how are you? They lived by faith. And guess what? If they hadn't lived by faith, the church today would not be here in the year 2011. But the people in the Old Testament lived by faith, and you and I today live by faith. And we see here this morning that the writer of Hebrews begins to share with us some things about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that what? That the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, we believe that God spoke the world into existence. What does it say in Genesis chapter 1? For God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. None of us were there at creation. Well, I hope not any of you. You'd be really old if you were. But by faith, we believe that God spoke the world into existence. By faith. By faith. So what does man do? Man does not understand that concept of faith. They want to try to explain how God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what they did? They said, well, eons and eons and eons of years, there was this great explosion somewhere in the sky. And in that explosion, there the planets were all scattered about, and there the sun was in the middle, and all the planets operate around it, and they rotate around the sun every 24 hours. And they made that up because they couldn't believe that God spoke the world into existence. Now, I'm not trying to contradict science. God's word enhances science when it says God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God breathed in the man, and man became a living soul. In fact, the Bible says that God himself scooped up some dirt in the ground and breathed into man, and man became a living soul. I don't understand that, but I believe that God created me in his own image by faith. You know what man did? Man couldn't go along with that, could they, huh? They couldn't believe that God created male and female. And you know what they did? So they created this mess and said that I hope we don't have any science teachers here today, because I probably ticked off another group here, but that's okay. I'm not worried about it. What did man do? They created this theory. Did you know that Darwin, it's still a theory? It's not a fact, folks. But Darwin created this theory that eons and eons and eons ago, we were a little protozoa in the sea, and somehow that little protozoa somehow jumped onto the earth, and pretty soon it jumped around, and pretty soon it developed legs, and pretty soon it stood up, and pretty soon it had hair, and pretty soon, after years and years and years, it became a man. Can I tell you something, little thing? It takes a lot more faith to believe that nonsense than it does to believe that Jesus Christ created us when he spoke, when he breathed in life in the man, and man became a living being. By faith, God created the world. God created you and me. You know, it's interesting. Just a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with one of the nurses at the hospital who's not a Christian. He actually lives here in Winton. So if he's here today, he'll get over this. He said, you know, I don't believe all the things that God could create the world in 7 days. Can I tell you something? It doesn't make any difference what you and I think, does it, huh? It's what God did. And that's how we live our lives, by faith. So number one, by faith, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. But look now at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know the story. It's found in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were in the garden. God said to them, you can do whatever you want to except to partake of the tree of the good and evil. And they did, and God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And then they had children. They had Cain and Abel. And God instructed to Cain and to Abel to give an offering to God. And it says that Cain and Abel gave an offering to God. And it says that God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a herdsman. And if you read the book of Genesis, in fact, turn there to Genesis chapter 4 for a minute, and I want you to see a very interesting thing there in Genesis chapter 4. Read this. It says, now Adam and Eve Adam knew Eve and bore, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man for the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. Why did God reject Cain's offering? You get it this morning? Why did God reject Cain's offering? It says that Cain brought a fruit from his crops. But Abel did what? He brought what? He brought the first of his herd. The very best, doesn't he, huh? And ladies and gentlemen, that's how it happens to you and me. When you and I bring our first, God always blesses our first. Can I tell you a little secret? When you're writing out your bills, if you don't write your tithe first, you will never, ever have enough to pay your bills. But when you give God your first, when you don't give God your leftovers, God will always honor them. Why did God reject Cain's and honor Abel's? Is because of their attitude. Because Cain was unrighteous and Abel was righteous. Cain gave his leftovers, but Abel gave his best. See, when you live your life by faith, you always give God your best. You always give God your best. By faith, we believe that God spoke the world into existence. By faith, we believe that Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see God, see death. You remember Enoch, don't you, huh? Enoch was a man not spoken of by very much, but it says that Enoch was here one time, and then that Enoch was what? He was no more, wasn't he, huh? In fact, as I was studying this about Enoch's life, guess who Enoch's son was? Anybody know other than the pastor? Methuselah, huh? But it just has a few words there about Enoch. It says that Enoch walked what? He walked with God, and he was no more. What does that mean? He was taken, wasn't he, huh? Just like in Matthew, it says that there are two ladies standing, and one is here and one's taken. Guess what? That happened. That very day, Enoch was raptured up, huh? Do I understand that? Absolutely not. Do I believe that with all my faith? Exactly, yes, I do. And guess what? That's going to happen to you and me someday, isn't it, huh? Someday I'm going to be preaching. I pray that I'm preaching. My family's not here, so I can say that. I pray that two things happen to me when I get to the end of my life. That number one, I die in the pulpit. Of course, that's kind of dangerous after what happened to Pastor Marion this week. But I die in the pulpit, or I get raptured out and I leave the rest of you here. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand how that Enoch was here one moment and the very next moment he was gone. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that with all my heart because by faith I believe in God's holy word. By faith, God spoke the world into existence. By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was no more. And by faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, that Noah built an ark. See, one thing about faith is that faith brings action. See, God came to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain. And you say, well, that seems okay. But what's interesting about that statement, it had never, ever rained on the earth at this time. No one knew what rain was like. But by faith, Noah began to build an ark. And see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I live by faith, God sometimes asks us to do the impossible. Noah lived by faith, and for 120 years, Noah lived by faith, and he built an ark because God was going to bring a flood. And what did people do? They laughed at him, they made fun of him, and they came by and ridiculed him all the time. And folks, when you live by faith, that's going to happen in your life. People are going to make fun of you. It's going to be difficult. But when you live by faith, when you live by faith, God says, I'm going to be with you in the good times, and I'm going to be with you in the difficult times. And so for 120 years, Noah lived by faith. He built the ark, and God brought the rain. And it rained, and it rained. And God put Noah in the ark, and God shut the door, and everyone else died. Were they good people? They were probably some wonderful people. Why did they die? They died because they didn't live by faith. And can I tell you a little story this morning? Can I tell you a little something? There's a lot of wonderful people in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood. There's a lot of wonderful people in your family, but if they don't live by faith, the Bible says they're lost, they're dead in sin, and they're going to die in their sins. This past week, I got called to a room in the hospital. 82-year-old man, getting ready to have bypass surgery. In fact, he's having surgery as I speak. He had never asked Jesus Christ into his heart. And he was afraid that he was going to die. And guess what he did? He put his faith in Jesus Christ. So that he knew that if he would die on the operating table, that the very next moment he would spend his life with God forever and ever. But this morning, what about you? You know, we've talked about the creation. We talked about Abel. We talked about Noah. Later on, it talks about Abraham. But how does this apply to you and me? How do you live your life? Do you live your life by sight? I'm afraid too many Christians live their life by sight. And you know, when they've got money in the bank, things are going well. But when they don't have any money in the bank, they get kind of scared. You know, you would think in these deep, serious economic times that our churches would be flocking with people because they realize that the government has disappointed them. Because the only way to survive is to live by faith. You know who else lives by faith? The church. See, Brother Gary's been a pastor here a long time. And he puts his faith in God and says, Dear Heavenly Father, I put my faith in you that you will encourage the people to give. By faith they give, by faith they serve, by faith they come. See, when you live your life by faith, you realize that the church, the bride of Christ, is so very important. Those people might be in the Old Testament, but we're in the New Testament. And we need to live our life by faith. One final thing, and then we close. Many times we don't look at this verse, but over on the next page in my Bible, the writer of Hebrews gives us one last thing that I think that we should look at. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Joshua, by faith, David, all these wonderful Old Testament characters lived by faith in the promise that the Messiah was going to come. But ladies and gentlemen, we live past that promise. The Messiah has come. Jesus Christ has come. He came born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And by faith, he was resurrected and lives at sits at the right hand of the Father. And by faith, he is coming again. But the challenge that you and I have today is this. How are you going to live your life? See, if you live it in your own strength, you're always going to have challenges. You're always going to have problems. If you live your life by faith, you're always going to have challenges. You're always going to have problems. But the difference is, the strength doesn't come from you. The strength comes from Him. So how are you going to live your life? You need to live your life by faith. For by grace, we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. And then what was the Paul says? Lest any man should boast. See, we can't boast about anything because salvation was a gift. How are you living your life this morning? I pray it's by faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this time in which we can be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, so it's so difficult, Lord, even though we know that you created the world by faith, that you sustained those Old Testament characters, heroes by faith. Sometimes, Father, in our own life, we get scared and frightened because we don't realize that Jesus is sitting in the boat. So, Father, my prayer today is that each of us would live our lives by faith and by faith alone. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, maybe you're here this morning. We're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn, and Brother Gary's going to be here up the front. But here's my invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you have lived your whole life in your own strength. It would be a shame this morning for you to hear this message on faith and then for you to leave in your own strength. But you know, maybe you're here today as a Christian and you have faith in Jesus Christ, but you're still living your life in your own strength. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. If you do know Jesus Christ, maybe today you need to make a commitment, not to the pastor, not to me, but to God, and say, Heavenly Father, from this day forward, I'm going to live my life by faith. And everything belongs to you, Lord. The just shall live by faith. Brother Gary.
Heart's desire is to know the Lord, to put your faith and trust in Him. I invite you to come. There'll be people here at the altar to counsel with you, to talk to you about how to do exactly that. The altar is open for those of you who simply want to come and pray. Let's sing together. Let's listen as the Lord speaks to our heart, and let's respond to whatever the Holy Spirit would have us do this morning. David.
Who is this King of glory that pursues me with His love? haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words. My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of glory, and who offers it to me? Well, who is this King of angels, oh blessed Prince of
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.